Mr. Matto is here. He's also advocate for. Mr. Matto, thank you very much. Please tell us about yourself and everything else that you know about MDDA. You, in terms of the public scrutiny, there is no comment, but in terms of a state security report, you have a negative credit records. We have four adverse reports here this year. In the main, it's a bank. It's Vodacom. It's shops. So you have those credit records that are negative. As you tell us about yourself, tell us about those issues as well, so that when members ask questions, you have an explanation as to what happened to those issues. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. My name is Hubert Matlo. I started my career at the former Weekly Mail before joining Capital Radio and the SABC. And I've also had a stint at the Department of Communications during the time of the broadcasting policy process. And I've spent 12 years up until the end of 2014 at ICASA as a Senior Manager of Corporate Communications and International Relations. I left ICASA at the end of 2014. And since then, I've never had regular income, and that is why I have those negative credit records.
On the MDDA, tell us why you applied, and do you know anything about MDDA? And if you know, what are those things that you may share with us?
Thank you, Chair. The MDDA was established with the sole purpose of addressing skewed market structure in the media industry, in broadcasting and the print sector. In my previous jobs, to start with at the NCRF. The NCRF, the Community Radio Forum, is the one which initiated the whole program for government to support community media. That advocacy project and research project was submitted to the Minister of Communications in the mid-1990s. And I was part of that research project. While being part of the technical committee for the broadcasting policy process, I was also project manager to pilot the community radio infrastructure project in the mid-1980s.
Thank you. I didn't tell you to that in 2 minutes. I'm sorry about that.
Right.
But you will share 5 minutes with members. Questions and your responses, it will be 5 minutes altogether.
Thanks.
Can I have the first member, Honorable Dolasha?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, sir. Sir, can you reflect on your experience, because you are applying here to be a member of the board. in your CV, I don't find that history of you at some point being involved in a board. So, as such, as no, there might be no experience. Can you take us through on that? Secondly, what are your views on the media transformation, particularly in the print media sector, and how has MDCA impacted the media transformation? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. I don't have any history in directorship, but in the last 2 years or so, I acquired additional skills in results-based management, monitoring and evaluation, and I did extensive literature review on public sector governance. And public sector governance is one critical area afflicting many state-owned entities as well as portfolio organizations. Issues around the compact shareholder agreement that the ministries have with state-owned entities need to be reviewed as far as I'm concerned. My views on media transformation is that in terms of the national market, national print media market, we still have four conglomerates dominating the sector, although two companies like Times Media and Independent underwent ownership in favor of BEE companies. The market of the print media at national level is still dominated by the four companies. A lot of work has been done by the MDDA in support.
What are these four companies? Let's conclude that.
The four companies is Media 24, is Times Media, which is Tiso Blackstar now, is the independent group, and the Citizen. In terms of the media transformation that the MDDA has done, there's a lot of work that has been done in terms of out of the 260 municipalities, we have about 200 community radio stations ever since the licensing started before the advent of democracy. And in the community and local print media sector, we also have around community local newspapers that have received some support from the MDDA. And this support is also commendable to the extent that some of the radio stations use indigenous languages as their medium of instruction. If you go to Umlazi, for instance, Umlazi has got two newspapers which are in isiZulu. I wish I was from Umlazi. It reflects the culture of reading. So whereas there are still gaps in terms of media transformation and in terms of the work that the MDDA can do, one can see that in the last 15 years or so, the MDDA has made inroads in terms of balancing and leveling the playing field of extending media access to previously disadvantaged communities.
Thank you, Chairperson. If you are allowing me, if the gentleman can take us through on his understanding on the community broadcasting sector and digital migration. If you can just tell us how many community television channels do we have in the country, which stations are those, what role do you think the MDDA has played in ensuring that establishment of these TV stations? If you can specifically tell us, take us through on the role that MDDA played. Yeah. Mine?
Did you hear?
Yes.
Okay, you can respond.
Honorable member, one of the things which came to my mind when I went through the MDDA website was the issue of digital migration. And I went through their website and their previous project. One issue that came to my mind was that in the mid-1990s, when I piloted the community radio infrastructure program, the studio equipment that was distributed, it was analog studio equipment. Now my question was, given that it was analog studio equipment, now that we're going into digital migration, has the MDDA already started in upgrading through capital infrastructure funding to provide these 200 or so radio stations with digital broadcasting equipment? And now that digital switchover will take place as scheduled at the end of 2018, how many of these 200 stations have got digital equipment? So going through their website, I couldn't find an answer to that. But the issue of getting equipment for those stations, which is digital, is very, very important. Otherwise, they'll be left out.
Okay, can I go to Honorable Van Dijk and switch off your mic?
Thank you. Thank you for availing yourself for this interview. I can see that you might not have board experience, but there's definitely other areas where you have experience. You were with ICASA for 11 years, 2003 to 2014. I would like to know, why did you leave ICASA? And I also see that you were part of the team that deputy director who were part of the team that developed the white green paper on broadcasting policies, as well as the white paper in 1997 and broadcasting policy of 1998. And then also you were involved with pilot procurement and rollout of radio broadcasting studio equipment, and at some stage you were a journalist associate with editor or associate editor with Mail and Guardian, and also you were, yeah, for 4 years you've done that. So it seems to me that you do have a bit of experience, but I want to know from you, why do you want to be part of the MDDA board, and what would you change at the MDDA and why? And then if you can maybe give us some of the regulations under which the by which the MDDA is regulated. I'm just going to leave you with that for at least more time than we can continue.
Thanks, Honourable Member. I left ICASA in order to pursue other opportunities in management consulting. And after I've left, I pursued a number of things, including management consulting, history manuscript development. I taught for a semester at the University of Johannesburg, teaching television journalism course 3. So I left ICASA to pursue better opportunities. Those better opportunities may not have been as lucrative, but that's what I sought out to do. Secondly, on the 1998 broadcasting project, I joined the department, I think that was early 1996 when they broadcasting policy review process was launched, and I was part of the green paper which was developed. I was part of the technical task team. That paper was developed, released for public comment. We received public comment, we worked on those comments and developed a policy, which was a white paper, which was also released. And all that work went to the drafting of the Broadcasting Act of 1999. And that's where I got exposure in broadcasting policy. The infrastructure community radio also ran parallel with the policy process, and I was a deputy director at the time, and then I was project manager for the time. There was a capital infrastructure fund which was allocated for that project, and we went through the, it was before the days of the PFMA, it was still the state turnabout. And the first time, state turnabout didn't approve it. Second time, it was approved, and we got a service provider. The infrastructure was procured, consulted with the communities, especially the Free State, where it was distributed. Why I want to be part of the MDDA? I think it's time. You know, with my 25 years of experience, there's something I can share. I may not have been part of any board anywhere, but what I've accumulated so far, particularly in terms of public sector governance, I think I can make a difference. I've made mention of the shareholder compact agreement that happens between the minister and the state-owned entities. In this case, shareholder agreements are about financial performance. But now, for a project like this one, of empowering communities and to contribute social cohesion, a shareholder agreement should incorporate environmental impact of the project. It should incorporate social impact of the crop, of the project. So beneficiary communities must be part of the monitoring and evaluation of what the MDDA does. Regulations under which the MDDA operates, the MDDA Act itself, it spells out how capital infrastructure must be distributed. It gives the board the power to determine the criteria for allocating capital and infrastructure funding. There is the PFMA itself, which stipulates how public funds need to be spent by a portfolio organization. And the MDDA cannot operate in isolation. There is the USASA, which is also involved in universal access. There is also ICASA, which is involved in licensing. So there would be that need for the MDDA to liaise and interact with other state entities and portfolio organizations in the sector.
Are you done, Honorable Van Dijk? Honorable Lose?
Thank you, Chairperson. Now, earlier on you said that the MDDA has done a lot to do what you call to level the playing field in South African media. Can you give me examples? We have 5 minutes, so let's try to capitalize it. I suggest you keep your mic on. Yeah, can you give me examples?
Thank you, Honorable Member. The MDDA has continued to support community radio infrastructure rollout program. The MDDA has continued to support new and existing community newspapers and local newspapers.
You're saying they have leveled the playing field. So I want an example of a play field that was leveled on the basis of its intervention. Because what do you mean? Listenership? Because if I give you an equipment and you are talking to three people, is that leveling the playing field? If I give you money, you open a newspaper, it's read by eight people, is that leveling the playing field? If not, what do you mean that it has leveled the playing field in its interventions? Don't tell me that it has intervened. Your claim is its interventions have leveled the playing field. So give me an example of a playing field that got leveled that wasn't before.
Honorable member, the playing field was leveled in terms of the creation and sustenance of community media entities that were not there. Newly established community radio stations were established. New community and local newspapers were established.
Okay, that's fine. We are not finding each other. Now, we have a big problem here. I don't want you to underestimate these questions. We don't want to be smooth-spoken into this. The MDDA, factually speaking, projects, majority of the projects that they've been funding are a dismal failure. It's a fact. It's there in the document. Now, so I'm going to move from there to another problem. Part of the things they've funded are newspapers written in local languages. Is there an interest in newspapers written in local languages outside KZN? If so, where is the proof?
One of the newspapers in Alexander Township, it's in Sesotho, Sevenda, and Sesotho.
What is it called?
I may not recall the name
of it. Is it funded by MDDA?
It may have.
Okay, you don't know. So, if there is no interest largely, which is what the, again, research shows, what could the MDDA do to improve interest in people reading news, not listening, not watching, reading news in their local languages? If you were in the board tomorrow, what is the project you would fund that would inculcate interest in people reading in their local language?
Well, the MDDA itself has amongst its strategic objectives to improve literacy in a culture of...
We know that's their objective. What would you do as a practical intervention to inculcate interest in people reading in their local languages? The language that is mostly read, that's why even the private sector invests in it, is mostly isiZulu and isiXhosa, parts of Cape, of Eastern Cape.
Right.
Outside of that, there aren't many success stories. What could you do? Have you thought about that? An intervention the MDDA could do to inculcate interest in people reading in their local languages?
Honorable member, there are book fairs held in various cities. So the book fairs can be taken to the townships and to the villages to promote a culture of reading and the promotion of indigenous languages in our country.
Book fairs. The MDDA must fund book fairs.
There could be some partnership of some sort
with book fairs. Finally, what could we improve in the criterion of the MDA, the existing one that they use to fund? Again, I say, what interests us is to put people in the board who are going to start making those funds work for the diversification of our media. It's not at the moment. What ideas have you thought about in relation to funding that could improve the performance of these entities that are funded by the MDDA to finally be successful?
One of the ways is to come up with a monitoring and evaluation framework.
There is one now. So what could we do to improve the one now?
Well, if it is there, it is a question of, I've mentioned earlier on, that the evaluation as we have it is based on financial performance. And we can have the evaluation in which the communities that are benefiting can be part of the evaluation to say what difference are these media entities bringing in their own communities. And that element is not there.
What do you mean by difference? I mean, what difference, what do you mean, what difference should they...
Well, the MDGA...
And how would that improve funding? I'm not sure. I'm asking about money. In what way would the difference a radio station makes in a community in turn make it financially sustainable? I'm not sure. So MDGA throws money often to failed projects. Those projects are unable to be self-funding. That's the problem. In what way could we improve that situation? You say we must invest in those that make a difference. How is that a financial sustainable solution?
And your time is up, if you can respond to that question.
Well, funding, these projects are meant to improve social cohesion and nation building. And we can embark on a project to evaluate to what extent are they improving aspects of social cohesion and nation building in the area.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Matisha.
It is an open secret that the broad knowledge, and in this instance the knowledge of the MDDA mandate will differ. You know? Yes, I know the MDDA, but then its mandate, the two will differ. I therefore request you to explain your understanding of its actual mandate. Okay? And then as you do that, kindly bring in the issues of ICASA and SABC, etc., with which MDDA has got to work with.
Thank you, Honorable Member. The mandate of the MDDA is to identify communities that have previously not had access to media, to provide them with support, to give them access to media by establishing media entities in their own areas. In the case of ICASA, is the question of licensing. Whether are the frequencies available for new radio, community radio stations to be licensed? If not, is it a question of waiting for the digital migration process to run its course so that new frequencies for terrestrial broadcasting are allocated? Secondly, in relation to the SABC, community broadcasting, whether radio or television, is very close to public broadcasting. What synergies, training, and exposure can the SABC made available to people in these community radio stations?
Thank you. Now, beyond the suitable qualifications that the person must have, I'm referring to the person who must get onto the board. Is that a question? Did you get what I'm saying?
I'm following.
I'm saying, yes, you need suitable qualifications, which you, of course, have, I've seen. Now, what we need is the actual expertise. We need experience in the field of working with the community, with the media, a social, labor, and development issues. Okay, at all, it goes more and more. But then, what I wish to understand is whether you will be able to work with this particular structure. It is the few that I've mentioned. There has been problems in the pass MDDA, etc., will you be able to do work in this kind of areas that I've raised?
Thank you, Honorable Member. The DOC community radio project I piloted entailed engaging with communities. One of the licensing conditions for community media is that the initiative must draw in participation from various sectors and stakeholders in the community. And in the Free State, before the radio broadcasting equipment was allocated, I engaged extensively with the beneficiary communities, up to the extent whereby, from the advice from the DOC legal department, it came the issue of a contract between the DOC and those beneficiary communities, that before the broadcasting studio equipment is allocated to them, they must enter into a contract to make sure that one of the things, the licensing conditions of community ownership and community participation in those initiatives is retained. So I've had exposure in terms of those relations and interaction with communities.
Rhonda, oh, you are fine. Okay. Thank you very much. That's it. Any question to members? Do we have any question to the members?
Maybe to you, Chairperson.
Yes.
That I don't have a security clearance. So I'll need details regarding that. I would appreciate the report.
Yeah.
Is it doable?
Come again?
Is it possible for me to get that report?
Well, if you...
How do I get that?
If you go to any police station for fingerprints, they will tell you what it is, but we'll check with SSA and then communicate with you. But you need to go for fingerprints. Oh, sorry. Yours is not. It's not the criminal. It's not the criminal. It's credit records. That one is certain records. We can give you the as I said,
that one is not a problem. I know about
you
it.
You only have,
but I nearly collapsed when you talked about the other aspect.
Yeah. Are you? Can you check yourself?
No,
or
no,
you
no,
know
I,
what it means?
Yeah. I don't need any assistance. I know from my side what the issue is.
But at the end, you are like this.
Yes, but that doesn't mean that I'm not rehabilitated. What is it?
Okay.
Cannot be rehabilitated.
All right. You know,
if I get to a situation whereby I can generate enough regular income, you know, I can be able to clean myself out of it. How much does the board pay? That would be my next question, Honorable Member.
Thank you very much. You can sort that one out.